Yo, everybody, welcome. Welcome to our first episode of the SASCast podcast, sponsored by the Student Academic Support Services here at Lindenwood University. My name is the one and only Devin Hunt, and along with me is my lovely, lovely co-host, Lauren Porter. How are you feeling today, Lauren?
Pretty good, Devin. I'm super excited to be able to show the world what we've been working on for the past month. Like Devin said, this podcast is sponsored by the Student and Academic Support Services, also known as the SAS building, where we both work. With midterms and or finals this week, if you need tutoring, you can go to lindenwood.edu and search tutoring. From there, click the first link and schedule your tutoring sessions. I personally know all of the tutors, and I promise they are super nice and very smart.
Yes, if you need help, we are here for you. We are on the third floor of the Library and Academic Resource Center, or for us, the LARC, and you can either call us at 636-949-4699 or email us at sas@lindenwood.edu. Moving on to today, we have our special guest. Lauren, do you mind introducing our special guest today?
I definitely can.
Absolutely.
Today, we are speaking with Mr. Robbie Hamilton, President of Student Government. Robbie is a double major studying in sociology and middle school studies, and he will be graduating in 2022, just like our friend Devin. Last year, he was the president of the Black Student Union and gave a speech about anti-racism. I've watched the five-minute video. It's on his Instagram, and all I can say is, wow, you are an amazing speaker.
Thank you.
Yeah. So my first question is why did you choose Lindenwood?
Well, I chose Lindenwood because I didn't want to be far away from home. Lindenwood's about 15 minutes or 17 minutes away from Ferguson, where I live. And Lindenwood is one of the only places that accepted me. I wasn't a very prestigious, academically gifted high school student.
I feel you straight up. Definitely.
So they accepted me, and they put me on academic probation. And I guess I did well enough to stay.
I feel, yeah. I've been on that. I've been on that a couple times, but I do say so myself.
What is academic suspension?
It's basically like if you don't do good in a semester, and they put you on it for next semester, and you got to do good, otherwise they'll be like, yeah, you can be kicked.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah. It's their like last ditch effort. Before, you know, yeah. It's really not that bad as you think. It's all like, I think it's GPA based.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I wasn't even too sure. I know they just told me, but I didn't let it hang over my head.
Really?
I didn't feel the pressure of it, I guess.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
Definitely, yeah. I had it twice.
I would have been terrified to fail.
It's basically you do your every day, you keep it pushing, you just do better. You know what I'm saying? Honestly. Yeah, okay. You can be really, you can drown a pond and let it loom on you, but at the end of the day, no. Keep it pushing.
Well, it's like my one class. I'm taking script analysis, and she hasn't put the grades in, and so I'm afraid all of a sudden my grade is going to go from like 100 to like an F, and I'm be like, only have a day to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
I need to email my teacher because I'm like, what happens if this goes below an A? I will cry.
See, if I don't got it. See, that's what brings me to this next one. It's like, what's the main purpose of college for you, Robbie? What do you think?
The main purpose of college is to be taught and study in a particular area or a discipline and acquire a knowledge that you can go out and get yourself a job.
For real?
Pretty much.
Honestly. It's like, yeah. Every day. I don't know. I feel like, yeah. I feel like it's like when we think of college, it's like, yeah, we go there, we pay, we think we're going to get a job afterwards, or we get one, and we just like, nah, connections, y'all.
Well, I also think like college, a lot of jobs, especially for just any person who majors in something,
right?
Their major isn't necessarily going to say that's what they're going to get in a job. So, for example, if let's say you major in criminology and then you find a really good job working at a social working company, then it might have nothing to do with your major. And so I think college is also about just learning yourself and what makes you the most happiest. Like, there's so many people who go to Lindenwood for sports. and they're like majoring in business.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really want to do business. They want to do their sport.
Mm-hmm.
And so just because you major in something doesn't mean that that is what you're going to do for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
So I think it's also about like just learning about yourself.
Yeah.
And especially for people who, you know, I lived with my mom. It's been me and her for the past 18 years. And when I moved out to go to college, I definitely learned more independence.
Absolutely.
Because as single mother and daughter, and it's not just for me, it's for lots of other single parents and their child, there becomes this dependency of like always being there. And when you're like, all right, you now get to move 8 hours away. Nice knowing you. Only get to see you during winter break and summer break. Have a nice life. That's kind of terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And I experienced such homesickness, but I learned so much about who I was as a person.
Yeah.
So I think college is also about kind of exploring yourself as a human being and what makes you happy and what kind of lifestyle you want to live.
Honestly, yeah. I felt that straight up, because that's the main thing I get when I came over here, because especially just being from across the water in Illinois over in Belleville, where I could have just gone to the Belleville campus, you know, but I came out here just to, I don't know, I felt like there was a more, my hunger could have been better out here than, you know, back at home.
Right.
And it just felt like ever since I came out here, it was like, yo, I'm different than what I was. And I was like, yo, I ain't going back then. I ain't going back. I said, cool. I remember I had a conversation with my mom, like, one of the times I went home before I, like, moved out. I was like, Mom, I don't know how my sister did, like, leaving the house and leaving us and stuff like that, but I don't know if I can dip one year after that, dipped. And I understand. It's, like, completely, sometimes you got to find your own road.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to walk your own path or whatever, stuff like that. It might be hard, it might be simple, but, hey, it's going to be cool.
Oh, yeah. When I moved out, it was kind of an interesting experience because it was during COVID.
Yeah.
It was the first semester back after COVID, after everyone left campus. And I was a freshman, and I had spent quarantine with my mom and I, just us two.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't go anywhere. Like, there was no, like, trips with friends or anything because everyone was afraid of COVID.
Yep.
And so all of a sudden, after, you know, spending 24 hours, 7 days a week with my family, I was then like, push, you now, like, you're just shoved out of the nest. Like, there's no little step. Nope, it was just shoved. And I did fall, and I did it. I felt so homesick. I multiple times called my mom and was like, I can't do this. I cannot do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally, after, I would say February, I finally figured out, like, I could do this.
Yeah.
That I could, you know, live by myself and, you know, take care of myself. I now go grocery shopping by myself. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I even made my own doctor appointment. Like,
hey, okay.
I am an adult. I was very proud of myself.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I, when I first got here, I was very homesick, extremely homesick. I remember the first day, even though I'm only like 17 minutes away, I was very homesick. I feel like I was somewhere way, way different. I went home the first day, came here, moved in, and then went right back home.
I feel.
I could see myself now going somewhere like a few hours away and being able to sustain it. But at that freshman year, not whatsoever, not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 8 hours away was hard, but I'm actually considering for this summer going to a different country for my internship.
Oh, yeah.
And that is hundreds of miles away.
True.
Thousands of miles away. But I feel like I can do it. And I feel like I my first week of freshman year self would be very proud of myself now.
Mm. True.
So.
I agree.
What do you think the greatest resource at Lindenwood is?
The people on campus, the students on campus, the faculty, the professors, everybody's a resource.
True. Now, do you feel like everybody knows that or feels that way?
No, but they may not know it, but everybody has a connection. Everybody knows something that you don't know. True. You just have to talk to them and figure out what knowledge base are they coming from and take away from that knowledge that they possess. Also, they could just be talking and be like, my dad does this. And then you end up being interested in whatever that mm-hmm. person's dad does. That's a resource. That's a connection. But you would never know if you didn't talk to that person. So, yeah, of course, a lot of people may not think of it like that mm-hmm. at first. But I've noticed that since being here at Lindenwood that is the truth. People have connections that they don't even realize they have.
Fact. Like, I ran into that so many times, especially here at Lindenwood. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'll go to an office, and it'll be like, you'd be not even thinking about it. You go walk into an office, and you're just trying to get one objective done, and you somehow got two objectives done, mm-hmm. just because that one person might be part of a department that you didn't even know of.
Yeah, I definitely saw it I have a good example of this, because when you do theater, you have to go to these... There's only three meetings every semester. It's okay. called company meetings. We had ours. It happens every Wednesday at 6, three times a semester.
Okay.
And normally, they're kind of boring. They're just, let's talk about the season. Let's talk about what's happening. And I'm like, whatever.
Right.
It lasts like an hour.
Okay.
Our last company meeting last semester lasted 3 hours, which was just so long. But this time, I was like, I came to the theater, I was listening, but I wasn't really listening. I was like, I don't care. Yeah. I just want to go home and take a nap. But they brought in three people from the St. Louis Repertory Theater.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, they're just going to talk about acting. And I was like, I don't care. But then one of the people started talking about administration, so arts administration.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever, like, given your dog a treat and, like, their ears kind of pop up?
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. As soon as I heard her talking about arts administration, I was like a dog. Like, what?
He was like, ooh.
And as she was talking more and more, I was like, I never really thought about arts administration. And as she was continuing talking, I was like, this is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went up to her after the company meeting and I said, hey, my name's Lauren Porter. I am a BFA stage management major. I was hearing you talk about arts administration. I'm interested in that field.
Mm.
And she gave me her email and I emailed her and we're having a Zoom lunch and I'm super excited.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I'm saying. Just like that. You never know.
Nope.
Look, I was so excited.
I want to answer like both this question. Like, do you honestly feel like when you compared to like when you first came here compared to now, did you feel like you did not have as many resources that you have now? You know what I'm saying? Like, did you back then think like when I first got here, like, yo, there's no way I can do this. Like, I don't even know like three resources that I know every day to day can help me, whatever, compared to now where you can be, yo, I can go here, I can get a resource, but I can also maybe get like 3-4 resources.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That mindset or that confidence, like, yo, there might not be an opportunity for a resource there, but I may get one. Or I could create one myself. You never feel that? You know? Like, especially when you like first come in here and it's like you not knowing it. And then you grow into yourself, like, you know, independency and stuff like that.
Yeah, I definitely think for theater, it's been ingrained in my brain since I was 16 to network.
Okay.
So, like, when COVID happened, there was a bunch of stage managers around the United States who started a blog called the Young Stage Managers blog.
Hmm.
And I wrote articles for them, and I networked through that. It has since disappeared. I don't know what happened to that. But
happens.
I also went to a bunch of Zoom meetings during quarantine, and I networked there. So I think for theater, it's very much network-based, and we're told that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lindenwood basically gave me more access to resources to network.
Okay.
But I already started networking by the time I was 16 years old.
Man. How about you, Robbie?
I was probably the complete opposite. I didn't like talking to people.
I feel you the same.
I didn't like talking to people at all. So when I first got here, it was just hard for me to get out of my room unless I was playing basketball.
True. Hey, I would catch him sometimes. I'd be like, is that Robbie just randomly hooping? And Evans, true. I was like, yeah, that's Robbie.
That is true.
I'm like, hey, I would go down there and shake. I'm letting him be. He working on that J. I'm letting him be. But yeah.
But now I see the value in networking. Mm-hmm. And it almost just happens naturally. I just randomly talk to people almost, whether they come up to me or I come up to them for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I know so many higher-ups now just with being in the positions that I have.
Right.
So that's opened up many doors of resources that I wouldn't have had
absolutely.
If I weren't in those positions.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You're kind of like a celebrity at Lindenwood.
I don't feel it. Yeah. I don't think I want to feel it. I think that's the better way to say
there
it.
There you go.
Yeah.
But he definitely is.
Yeah, I feel this a lot. For everybody who doesn't know, Robbie is currently our 2021 homecoming king, everybody.
I'm See? Sorry to tell you. He even won homecoming king. That really just says famous.
Fact. My good friend Nico, everywhere we go, he likes to mention that if we're in parties of people. And even when I won homecoming king, my mom was telling everybody, we were in the restaurant, I'm like, I don't want people to know this. You don't have to tell people this. This ain't something I got.
Like, your mom, please.
Right. Like, you can chill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just imagine her being like, the server comes in, would you like anything to drink? My son won homecoming king. He's getting a Sprite.
That's pretty much exactly how it went for the day.
You know,
exactly how it went.
That is phenomenal.
I dare Kenyon to try that with me. I'd be like, yo, Kenyon, don't. please not me.
Oh, that'd be quite funny. So what changes do you want to see at Lindenwood?
I've always wanted to see more of a pool of diversity and equity for the people who may be the quote-unquote minority on campus.
Mm-hmm.
But that I feel like that's something that Lindenwood is moving towards. I can't think offhand of big changes that I would like to see. But I know in the position of LSG, I always hear about many of the student complaints,
mm-hmm.
and we are working a lot forward to remedy those complaints.
Okay.
But the biggest thing would be OERs, open educational resources. So pretty much in a nutshell, that's instead of the professor saying, you have to buy this book, they would just give you the link to a source that is free, and it would give you the same information that that book would give you, except the link is free. So that's something that we're trying to move forward to. So if we would Ooh. Make Lindenwood like an OER school,
mm-hmm.
man, that'd be beautiful.
Absolutely.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah. No, I've been talking about that lately. Actually, like, think about it. Like, that's a great idea.
You mean I wouldn't have to spend hundreds of dollars on books a semester?
For real.
That would be fun. Yeah,
you know, the social work program does that, where you just buy a tablet and all of the resources are put on the tablet each semester. For your classes, and it's just a one-time fee for the tablet.
How much is the tablet?
I'm not sure.
Oh, probably dang.
Like a few hundred.
Wow.
I guess.
I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
See, for theater, we have to buy scripts.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
Yeah. I have, like, for script analysis, mm-hmm. I have, like, 8 scripts. Like, Othello. I had to read Othello, the Kentucky Cycle, which are both, like, ridiculously long.
Mm-hmm.
And they each cost, like, $20 each.
Oh, that's not true.
Okay.
I guess maybe. But if you.
Yeah.
So $20 per script, you have 8.
Hmm. Yeah, stacked on. Yeah.
It You're stacks.
Right. Right. On me.
It
yeah.
stacks.
Okay, okay. Now, Rob, is this the main reason why you chose to be part of student government, or is there a different reason?
I didn't want to be a part of student government. I was comfortable being the Black Student Union president. Mm-hmm. And then the president that preceded me, Marco Lee,
mm-hmm.
he kept asking me. And got to the point where he said, excuse me, he got to the point where he said, man, I'm virtually begging you to go ahead and run. And I said, well, fine, because I was like, well, maybe somebody else will run. But little did I know, nobody else ran against me, and I was just kind of giving it.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, yeah, because everybody, I thought, like, everybody just, like, you were going to keep being, you know, the BSU president. Mm-hmm. And we come back after, you know, the summer of COVID, and it's like, yo, Robbie's student government president now. I was like, what? I was
surprise.
Like, man, on God, I was like, surprise, Shoday, like that.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, okay, well, wonderful position. I think well deserved.
Thank you.
Great
Thank
spot, you. And just like, yeah, for the people, honestly, right?
I try to be
like for real, Robbie. Like, on God, and we see it for real.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I know student government's working really hard. The most controversial mm-hmm. issue with that, or with what's happening with Lindenwood, is the lip sync battle.
Ooh.
You know, I'm happy that you spoke about that because when Dr. Porter, he spoke at our last LSG meeting and someone brought that up and they Cameron Smith said that that's pretty much the, I don't know what to call them, the directors, I guess you would say, of Scheidegger, who make that decision.
Yep.
For what?
So, yeah, so basically Lindenwood, the Lindenwood J. Shai made the decision to require masks during performances.
Oh.
So, yes, there are theater people have reason to be upset because we have to do a bunch of theater. We have to, like, scream in masks. We have to sing in masks. We have to perform in masks.
Right.
But it's not President Porter's fault.
Understand correctly.
And not everyone understands that. Mm. If you look at LU Shade Room, there's so many people who are like yelling at each other.
Yeah, I saw.
It's quite entertaining, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, Shade Room is entertaining, but also a battleground. Yeah.
It is something else. I kind of didn't like the Shade Room because it's a very raunchy site. And sometimes I don't like those images. But one thing that I found is that it's actually good to look at from my perspective, because then you get to hear what the students are displeased about,
right?
And I can get a lot of information via that, so that's a perk of it.
Yeah, that's one thing I really wanted to ask as well, is like, do you guys pay attention to stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, the Shade Room and like little small organization things?
I do,
like, and like as an individual, but also
just myself, I do. I would hope that the other LSG board does. And I'm pretty sure, because LU Shade Room is the talk of the town. People know about it.
Everyone is following LU Shade Room.
Hey, shout out to the person who runs it. If I can get them in there,
I'm going to get them in there.
Yeah, if I can try to get you in here, no shout out your name, no anything to make you. Yeah, everything anonymous. Yeah. No disrespect, but just want to come in here and talk to you, see what's up.
You got to give him one of those Bane masks so his voice is...
Yeah, a little muffled, Or just wear a mask, honestly.
I said we could put a paper bag on their head.
Yeah, she did that.
And then just cut a hole out of their mouth, and then they could talk.
I like that idea, too.
But yeah, like, just the one with the lip sync, it says, really, all capitalized, pissed about the fact that lip sync battles didn't have students wearing a mask, but the theater performers still have to wear them during their shows. Absolutely disgusted with this school. And then everyone commented, we're talking 28 comments and 244 likes. So, and it also appeared all over my Lindenwood Instagram stories. So people are definitely upset, annoyed just about the situation, but again, not everything is the fault of President Porter. I know a lot of stuff is blamed on him, but it's not actually all his fault.
Oh, God. Yeah, folks, come on. There's outside factors that play into it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Of course.
Yeah.
Always.
Also, how do you have a lip sync battle with masks on?
Right.
Yeah, that's the whole point, too.
Deducts the lip sync. We're just choreographing dances at that point.
For real. For real.
I mean, the dances were phenomenal. So I guess we could have changed it into like a dance battle, but
honestly, you had Leo out there dancing. I mean, you could have just put him with a group. All right, he could be flying solo. Nothing wrong with it.
Look, we should interview Leo the Lion.
Shall we? Shout out to Leo the Lion.
Yep. Please let us interview you.
Robbie, how does it feel to be a BIPOC president?
Give me the definition of BIPOC again.
Okay, so the definition of BIPOC is Black and Indigenous and People of Color. So it's basically the counterpart to white people.
Yes.
Or POC, predominantly white people.
Right, and I apologize for cutting you off, Lauren, my bad.
You're good.
And it's pretty much, because you're pretty much talking about me and Marco Lee being the...
Yes, back-to-back, yeah. Okay. How does it feel to be back-to-back BIPOC president, my bad?
It feels great. I think it's 194 years that Lindenwood has been in existence, and it's the first time in its history that there have been two consecutive Black Lindenwood student government presidents.
Yes.
I'm very happy, and me and Marco were talking about that. Just we were very, very excited about such history, because it truly is just that, it's history. So we love it. I think it'll go down in history, because Marco Lee did some phenomenal things, and I hope to do some phenomenal things.
Yes.
Are you also going to create a graduation leaving song? Because Marco's was phenomenal.
Marco's was great.
I think you do another great one.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a rapper or a singer. I don't know.
It's all right, Robbie. We'll
maybe
dance.
Maybe I can get a statue.
Hey. If not, we could 3D. Hey, Rob, we could 3D print some. That too.
I like Do that. We have a 3D printer?
If not, I know a coworker. My coworker 3D prints. Mm. Yeah.
There's a bunch of 3D printers at University of Nebraska Lincoln.
Yeah. Mm. I'm surprised we don't have one though. Especially now.
Look, they're expensive.
It is. It is. Yeah.
They are super expensive.
Yeah.
That's okay. Ridiculous. So I have another question. Where do you get your clothes? Everyone has been wondering.
Folks, this is juicy news, folks.
You come
juicy news
to class looking amazing. You come to meetings looking amazing. You walk around campus and everyone's like, "Oh my gosh, he's going to a wedding!" Like,
yo, Lindawick.
I'm just wondering, where do you get the phenomenal clothes?
You already know, Lindawick.
Place in Ferguson called Milano's.
Yes.
And then another place is K&G. I like both of those places. One thing that Marco Lee asked me to do is he, I guess the president before him didn't always dress up, and Marco Lee saw that a person in such a position, because honestly, Linda, with student government, is probably the most powerful and most influential organization on campus. So the person who's sitting in the main seat of presidency should probably dress the part, and he broke that down to me, and I was in 100% agreement to him, with him rather. Mm-hmm. So he passed the torch, and I said, "I'll take it." So I dressed up.
Cause I respect that.
If you remember, he always dressed up as well.
He did.
You definitely know it was him coming through. I'm like, "Is that my?" Yup. Yup.
Well, I remember he'd go to like Evans and just a bunch of people in like shorts and a t-shirt, and just this one person in a freaking suit, and I was like,
yep.
Okay, he's definitely president.
Exactly.
I'm
like, that mark right there. Yeah, that's him. He'd be like, mm-hmm. You'll definitely tell. I think, it's a great thing, especially like traditional wise.
Right.
President to president. I think that also is a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. Just like outside of being professional.
Right.
You know?
Do you ever feel awkward like going into class in like super nice clothes? Because I like dressing up. Mm-hmm. I was told at a very young age, never acceptable to wear sweatpants outside of the house unless you're sick. And, like, I was told very specifically how to dress, and so I rarely go to class. I don't think I've ever gone to class with sweatpants. I have went in leggings, but I was told very specifically, like, always to dress up for whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
But sometimes going to class in, like, a jumpsuit or a nice shirt, I feel like so out of place. You're wearing a whole ass suit. How do you feel?
You know?
So I don't have that many classes. I only have one physical class, and that's Tuesday and Thursday. Mm. And I've wore suits to them maybe just twice or so, but I don't feel out of place.
Okay.
I guess at very first when I was wearing suits on campus, I felt a little bit weird. I'm like, are people looking at me? But I just like the way I look in them. I don't want to seem egotistical, but when you just dress up like that, you feel good.
Mm.
And so it just all goes away. I say I feel pretty good in the suit, so.
Yeah.
So
the first time I wore my brand new trench coat, I came to work and I felt so good and I was so happy that entire day. And everyone at work was like, "She's just happy. Just let her be."
Literally goes around just like.
I was just
Ball
so happy. I was talking to my manager, Brooke, and I was like, "Brooke, I look amazing." And she's like, "Yes, you do." And I was just so happy.
I was like, "Yo, Lauren, where'd you get this Inspector Gadget coat from?" She was like, "You know, I just got it. It looks good, doesn't it?" I was like, "Yeah, looks great. It looks great. You're killing the game, okay?"
Got it from H&M.
Shout out to H&M.
I know. And I even subscribed to their membership to get a 10% off discount.
You
so
heard it
here,
folks.
So went from $35 to $32.
Oh, okay.
Look, I'm in college. Every penny counts.
Hey, deals are deals.
Exactly.
Savings are savings, and licks are licks, okay?
Exactly.
Do what you need to do any way possible.
Exactly. And so what? I get 100 emails a day.
Right.
I just delete them. It's
spam.
Oh, my gosh.
Bobby, what advice would you give the students academically?
Just do your best and find. Don't major in something or do something just for money. Do it because you actually enjoy it. Because I'm, in my personal opinion, if you do something just for the money, you're not really going to be in it for the longevity.
Absolutely.
Because money can only last you so long. You got to do it because you have a passion for it. Even if it's one of those things where people say, "Oh, you're not going to make any money if you major in this." You got to have the self-determination to say, "I'm going to be successful in whatever field that I go into."
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like that's the major thing. It's like the grind. It's like you would have an idea. That's why I feel like it stops everybody at. Mm-hmm. It's that one step of self-determination that just draws everybody back.
Right.
It might not be a big leap like that. Mm-hmm. It might just be putting your toe in the pool. You know what I'm saying? That type of thing.
Yep. It's the self-confidence. Self-confidence. Like, I major in sociology. Mm-hmm. And I want to do something in the sociological field, really. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people tell me, oh, you're not going to make any more. That's a lie. And
same.
I'll prove them to be a liar.
Same. You know, you just gotta give me the time, I study the same on God. Yes.
So that's exactly how I feel. And I think that anybody else who majors in something that gets that same
mm-hmm.
feedback, that they should feel that way. Watch, I'm making a liar out of you.
I'm
going to be successful in it.
That's why I'm like, I also catch myself doing that too. Mm-hmm. Two people. And it's like, wow, like I see it, like I'll be like, man, you study this, I don't know how that's gonna go, especially being outside of like here. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, yo, did you just say that to them in your head? How about the people who say that to you? What do you say? Oh, I'm gonna keep on going. I'm gonna make it something mm-hmm. good. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's how you catch yourself. The realization is the key, and it's crazy.
Very much so.
I guess because I do performing arts, like, that's mm-hmm. just, there's no money in that. So anyone who majors in anything else, I'm like, you're going to make money. Like, have a nice life. Or I'm like, yeah. I might be living on the side of the road. It'll be fun. It'll be an adventure. Well, because I'll be living in a tour bus.
I don't know, Lauren. You got energy. You got a lot of energy. A lot of positivity. I'm telling you.
Well, it isn't caffeine because I can't drink caffeine.
You know, I can't do caffeine either. It's a little bit too much for me, but hey, we'll find something.
It gives me headaches. It's really tragic.
I know. Just it's okay though.
More than one can of soda with caffeine, and oof. I just am in a ball on the floor with a headache. Yeah, no. No coffee. Oof. No nothing.
That's crazy. It's okay though. It's okay.
It's okay.
Drop on a scale, 1 to 10. What is Linda Wood on that scale?
For diversity?
Yeah.
For diversity, they're on a 6, but I think that it's increasing. President Porter has hired Emily Pitts, who is the director of diversity and inclusion, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was another black lady, wonderful person. I met her and I speak to her. I forget, she's over something with residential housing, I believe.
Okay.
But two phenomenal assets, mm-hmm. Very much. And we're seeing more students of color on campus. And undoubtedly so, when students of color or black students
okay.
see black faculty
yes.
and professors, that makes them want to stay because now they feel welcome that I'm not just seen as a student whom I give you money.
Mm-hmm.
No, I see people that look like me who are in higher positions too.
Right.
That's impactful and powerful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, for example, like, my roommate, he used to work for the education department
mm-hmm.
over there in Romer. Dr. Moore.
Tammy Moore.
Yes, phenomenal woman.
Mm-hmm.
You'll catch her, I don't know what she might have on that day, but she got some type of Jordan on.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know who it is besides Ms. Karon in student involvement. She has Jordan on, too. Those two ladies.
She has a page of student shoes.
Oh, really?
She's like a shoe connoisseur.
I might have to add. I might mm-hmm. check that out. Me.
Have
but yeah.
you seen Tammy Moore's car?
No.
First time I seen it. And you know how I knew it was her car? Because it said Dr. Moore on the license plates, and it's a Camaro.
It is that Camaro. You're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It says she's styling and profiling in that.
For real. Exactly.
Well, everyone knows my favorite car.
Oh, my God.
The Vice President of Information and Technology has a Tesla.
The white Tesla.
I get so excited whenever I see that. I am determined to meet him because I've been inside a Tesla,
mm-hmm.
but I've never ridden in one. I think it'd ooh. Be so much fun.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
I want a Tesla so bad.
Okay.
But everyone's like, Lauren, you're in theater. You're lucky if you'd be able to afford a Ford Focus.
Bro,
you can see it, you can achieve it.
Proud.
Literally weeks before this, she goes, hey, we should take a group photo in front of the Tesla to make it our cover. Our cover. I was like,
that's funny.
You know, I think so. Making a little 90s theme.
No, because.
Putting in a Tesla.
I was told that it was an inside joke and aww. No one would get it. So we can't do it.
Oh, man. Okay.
The
we can always find out, too.
What's his name that owns the Tesla?
He's the vice president of information and technology.
When in the parade and we drove in those Camaros because of the senior homecoming court, he was the one who drove our car. And I noticed it was him. I said, "Do you have a Tesla?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I do." I was like, "Oh, that's you. I've seen you before."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
That's wow. He's real nice guy. You probably could ask him to take a picture with it or for just ride in it. I'm pretty sure he'd probably say yes. He was really nice.
Sweet.
I'm not going to go up to a man I'll let y'all know and say, "Sir, can I take a ride in your Tesla?"
It's my dream to drive in a Tesla. Can I please drive in it?
T.J. Okay. Raines is his name. T.J. Raines. Vice President of Information Technology and Chief Information Officer.
Ooh.
And he is the one who owns the Tesla.
T.J., if you don't mind, if you ever reach this or you ever hear this, if you don't mind us taking a little photo or something around your Tesla or a little hearing to go, a little ride, we wouldn't mind. We wouldn't mind at all. Thank you, though.
I can bake you cookies.
Hey, you heard of here. Lauren will bake you cookies, too.
Caramel apple cider cookies are my fall favorites.
Oh, that sounds like a recipe right there.
If someone gives me a kitchen, I am dying to cook.
I swear. on to the last question.
Yes.
From the last question, Rob, do you think with more black fraternities and sororities here in Lindenwood, do you think our diversity representation for, all together would be bigger?
Undoubtedly so. Undoubtedly so. Even when the Black was it Divine Nine were invited to the student organization fair that we had at the beginning of the year, you could tell that the students, all students, no matter what color, really liked it. And when they started strolling, which is the dance that they
did,
people enjoyed it. So definitely, I believe so. You bring, and I was telling Christian, he's the person who's over fraternity, sorority, and life, something like that. He agreed with the sentiments of that.
Okay.
He definitely did.
Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm. And it's like, even with our latest, I don't remember if it's a fraternity or sorority, but the Latino.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm familiar with the fraternity.
It's a co-ed.
Yeah, it's a co-ed one? Okay. Fraternity. Yes, okay. I couldn't remember which one it was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, something like that. I like that too. Like the way they added that, co-ed group into the pool and how they're like trying to figure out things going and how they're still like going strong, honestly, here in the Lindenwood community and all that. It's just like, it's bring it,
right?
Literally, it will boost us so many times,
definitely.
And I think it will be a great thing. That's all representation, and it's like, I want to see it, I would love to see it.
Yeah,
I mean, we have the chapters here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing like just bringing across the water real quick.
Right.
Have a little dip off the pool. Yeah, a little dip off the pool.
Okay.
Come over to Loon, a little dip off the pool.
Okay.
Get some new members. Okay. Undeniably.
Well, thank you so much, Robbie, for being on this show and being our first guest. I super appreciate it. Especially for the now that you've recorded this twice, because we forgot to record the first time.
Yes, folks, we were meant to record this on Monday, but it is Friday. Still kind of wet outside, but hey, look, we still got this done. And I'm glad we got this done.
It was a learning experience. I learned something. Devin learned something.
Yes.
He learned something. Wow. I thought he'd be like, this has been an interesting experience. I mean, look. He did walk in with Devin just saying yo at least 30 times.
Yo.
Well, we really appreciated talking to you today to hear your insight on Lindenwood and how it works. And I want to say thank you for being the president of student government. I definitely see the change that's happening in Lindenwood. And so I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to do that.
Yes.
It's not a small position.
Not at all.
I hope you have a great day. And listeners, if you want to hear more, next up we are interviewing two women from Phi Sigma Sigma.
Yo.
Jenna and Alexia, who work with us.
Yes.
We're recording on Monday. It's going to be fun.
Ooh.
So thank you so much for listening and have a great day, y'all.
Oh, real quick, Lauren, tell them where this would be located.
Oh, yes. So this podcast will be located on Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Yo.
I'm super excited.
Come catch us out. We'll upload this and much more afterwards. We have tons of more guests coming through for this season and also for next season, aka next semester. But just now it's going good.
Yeah, just in October, we're interviewing Fisig and Rugby.
Yes.
Because we were like, look, how many people at Linda would love rugby?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. So let's get two people from the rugby teams.
Yes.
To interview.
From boys and girls. So please.
Exactly.
Come through for the next episode and the episode after. Enjoy. And we'll catch you on the next one. Deuces.